Stop. Yeah, thank you, Stephen, for the invitation and the welcome. It's great to be here. Just let me put this in here, and it's out the way. Right. Do pray for Stephen at this moment in time, because it's not easy accepting someone to come and preach when you've not heard them before. And I remember one occasion at the church I was at in Winslow, I was leading, and we asked this man to come along and preach, and he went on, and he went on, and he went on, and he went on, and I was getting agitated, sat from the congregation, and eventually I had to get up and disturb him, and just say, we need to pull this to an end. So, Stephen, I give you permission to do that if I go on and on, but hopefully no. I bring greetings from Blackburn Vineyard. There's something special about meeting together as different churches. You know, Stephen said, we're one body, we're one family. And what I love about what's happening in Blackburn at the moment is that God is actually bringing churches together to work together. And that's for his glory. And that's to accomplish his plan and purpose. And I don't know about you, but as we worship, I tend to look at what's happening with the worship, what's the subject of the worship, what are we worshipping for, and of course it's all to bring glory to God, isn't it? But this morning I noticed that there was a couple of themes that were coming through as we were worshipping. One was how God wants to touch the earth. We were singing about revival. We were singing about heaven touching earth, weren't we? We were singing about, fill us, Lord, so that we can speak out and relate about you to other people. But at the same time, we were also singing about the love that God has for us. Here is love, vast as an ocean. You know, we can't measure the love that God has. And we've had testimony to that today, haven't we? And I find that interesting, and I mention it because what I bring you this morning fits in so nicely with that. And we'll work it out. I'm taking an easy way out this morning. Basically, I'm just going to feed a few scriptures to you. And then I'm going to bring it all together and see how those scriptures apply to us. If I can get this thing working. It won't come on. Never mind. Do you want to put the first slide up, please? Are you okay with that? Can you? Well, the next one then. The challenge of unity. Yes. I'm going to have to step down here and use this. If anybody wants to follow what we're going to do, is initially we're going to look at John 17. John 17 is what we call Jesus' priestly prayer. It occurs at the time that he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And of those who know the Bible, the Garden of Gethsemane is just a few moments before he's arrested and then later crucified. And we know that when he was in the garden there, he was praying to his Father. And we call this the great priestly prayer. And who knows? And Jesus knew what was going to come. He knew that his death was imminent. Okay? And so he was praying from the depths of his heart to his Father God. Now, who knows that when people are close to death, the words that come from us are not going to be minor words. You're not going to be lying on your deathbed and say, is it raining outside? We're going to be talking about something that's deep, something that's real to us. And in the same way, that's what Jesus was doing. He was talking to his Father. He was praying to his Father. And first of all, he prayed for himself. Then the second part of his prayer was for his disciples, those who were with him that night. But the third part of his prayer was about those who followed and believed later. That is you and I. Okay? And I just want to take out just a couple of sentences from his prayer to help us springboard into something this morning. He says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. You and I are still in the world, if you like. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Now, we don't understand Father, Son and Holy Spirit necessarily. It's one of those things that we find difficult to get in our mind, isn't it? But what we can say is we know how one, how complete God is as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. There is complete unity there. We never read of anything in saying God, that Jesus saying, oh, you've dropped me in it there, Lord, or anything like that. Everything we read of Jesus is complementary to his Father and the Spirit. There is complete oneness. And Jesus' prayer is that his disciples and those who follow him will be one just like they are. Okay, can we have the next verse? Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. This is where you and I come in. And it says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So, can you just stop and think a little bit? This is just before Jesus' death. The words that are coming from him are going to be super important, aren't they? And what those super important prayer words are related to you and I. And what he's saying, it's important for him that there is unity in his body. There is unity in his church. There is unity between ourselves as different churches, but there's unity between yourselves within this church. Can we have the next? And so, if there's anything that we should strive for, is to have unity between one another. Right across the board, right across the nation, the world, it doesn't matter, but unity. And that's what was the heart of Jesus. And at the heart of unity is loving one another. You know, Jesus said, I give you a new command. We all know that scripture. We all love that scripture, to love one another. Okay? And we quote it and we hear about it. But today, what I want to challenge each one of us to say, what is loving one another? What does it really mean in our lives? What does it mean in the life of this fellowship? What does it mean in the life of the group of churches in Blackburn? And one of the ways to do that is to actually look at some of the words of Scripture. Because Jesus came to kind of release the truth, and he says the truth sets us free, and I want to be free in Christ, and I'm sure most people do. So we're going to have a look at a few scripture verses, and the way to do it is, the way I've done it is, there are a number of scriptures with one another in them. So I've just pulled a few of them out. I think there are about 28, something like that. But I've just pulled a few of them out to have a look at this morning. And we're just going to have a look at those scriptures, nothing more. And then I'm going to pull it all together in a way that will challenge us. At least it challenged me. And I don't see myself being any different than anybody else. So if it challenges me, I'll guarantee it'll challenge one or two here. And if it doesn't challenge you, then go away and pray about it, because it should. Because it's at the heart of what Jesus wants. He cried, he sweat blood that night. And part of that was what was in his heart. So the first one, just to accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We've had a wonderful testimony there. How, Marlene was it? Is it Marlene? Marlene, yeah. How Marlene came to that point of being understanding that she was accepted by God. Irrespective of what has gone on in the past, God still loves her and you and me with an immeasurable love. And what Paul is saying when he writes to the church at Romans, he's saying, what I want you to do is accept each other just as much as God accepts you. Now, that's okay when we're friends, isn't it? That's nice, you know, if we get alongside one another. But what about them Baptists down the road? Yeah, and you mentioned the Pentecostals. Well, goodness, you know, we're good. You know, and ingrained within churchianity is this thing about different areas of worship that people don't understand, and we don't necessarily want to get alongside them. We don't necessarily want to go to healing on the streets with them. Oh, no, not with the Vineyard. We're not going to be with them, are we? But Paul says, accept one another just as Christ accepts you. Next slide, please. Honour one another above yourselves. That means that we need to put people first before ourselves. Now, that's a challenge, because I will guarantee that at the heart of most of us here today, self comes first. We had an occasion last Sunday evening where a family who's just come into Blackburn were struggling at the moment, and the set of drawers fell on the daughter's feet, and it swelled or swollen. It grew bigger. And she rang us and said, look, I need to take my daughter to the hospital. Can you look after the rest of the children? They had three other children. This was 9:30 Sunday evening. Honour one another above yourselves. Oh, no. I was just getting my slippers on and getting open a bottle of wine, ready to watch whatever's on Sunday night. And I sensed, you know, self was coming in first. Let's be real. It happens, doesn't it? You know, so we need to think about honouring one another. Is there another scripture, please? I like this one. Now, this will kind of challenge one or two, won't it? Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. Now, we kind of forget that little bit, don't we? I mean, I'm not asking for a show of hands. But actually, in your mind, put your hand up if you do occasionally grumble at people. Yeah. Oh, look, they're all up. Eh? I can read minds. Don't grumble against others. Yes, people are going to upset us. Yes, people are going to do things differently than what we do. But all about loving one another is to accept, to honour, but not to grumble. Actually, Paul goes a bit further. It's James, isn't it? Goes a bit further, and he says, if you start grumbling, then God will be judging you. Because there's a scripture in there that talks about judging others as, God judges us as we judge others. The thing about taking the plank out your eye. Yeah? Next one, please. The judge is standing at the door. That horrifies me. I would sooner have Christ stood at the door waiting and saying, you good and faithful servant. I don't want the judge stood at my door. Let's fellowship. Let's not give up meeting together, or one another, it says in some versions, as some are in the habit of doing. You know, Steve was talking about the midweek groups. We call them life groups here. You know, it's nice to come on a Sunday morning and meet it up with one another, isn't it? It's nice. We have a chat. We find out what's going on, and it's quite friendly, and, you know, greeting well and things like that. But sometimes you get out, oh, no, Sunday morning, it's cold. You know, I don't really fancy going. Who doesn't really fancy going? I. You know, but God calls us to be together. He's not made us as insular Christians, as Christians to stand alone. He's made us so that we can actually come together in order that we may encourage one another and help one another out. Example, testimony. Without people being around encouraging, then we actually fall foul. I was saying to someone this week, in fact, it's an old analogy, most of you may well have heard it, is the old coal fires. You know, when you light the fire and it's a light and it's a blaze, the pieces of coal are red or orange and there's flames coming up, aren't they? It gives up light, it gives off light and heat. But if you take the tongs and pick up one piece and put it down on the hearth there and go back in a few minutes, what colour is it? Black. Why is it black? Because it's been taken out. It's been taken out of fellowship from the other lumps of coal. Now, if we want to shine and star and be light for Christ, we need to do it together. We can't do it alone. Next one, please. Confess and pray.
Oh, we're going down the Catholic road here. Somebody might say, oh, dear, dear, dear.
Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. They're not my words. They're the words of the Word of God. God in his wisdom has put that in and saying, look, if we talk to one another, it's good to say, oh, you know, I've had such a bad week. I actually fell out with Kath, my wife. You know, we had an argument and, you know, it put me in a bad thing. And, you know, I can say that to you know, my team, my people at the church. And they'll say, let me pray with you. And it's great, you know, I've got a couple from the Vineyards come to support. The first thing they want to do is pray with me this morning. You know, we're together, one another, and it's good to be able to talk to one another so that it helps us. It helps us to get rid of stuff that's not shouldn't be there. And actually, I like the other bit, so that you may be healed. You know, if I've consciously saying, oh, goodness, I really feel so bad about falling out with Kath, and the things I said to her, oh dear me. You know, so they'll pray with you, and I feel a lot better because I know God's forgiven me, so I'll have to go home and say to Kath, I'm sorry, and a relationship back into what it is, and all the stuff that's been weighing me down's gone. I'm healed of that. Can you see how it works? But we're doing it one another. What we're doing is expressing God's love one another. And as we're doing that, what's happening is we're building something together where there's a unity that's taking place. It's like a glue that's gluing us together because we're accepting one another, we're helping one another, and there's a bond that's taking place. Is there another scripture? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Oh, it's great having people up teaching, isn't it? But what if they say, hey, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. Sorry, I'm not picking on you particularly. But, you know, I hear what you're saying. I know your reasons behind it, but it's not Christ-like. You know, and it's better, actually, that if you perhaps approached it this other way. That's an admonishment, but it's helpful for one another because we can then change our behaviour to become more Christ-like and be growing more and maturing more. Teaching them one another with all wisdom. Next, please. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, I think a lot of churches capture this very well in terms of helping people with needs. So we'll just bypass that one, as that one's not so bad. Next one, please. Justice. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. I think we like doing the justice bit and saying we're right and you're wrong. That's not justice, by the way. But I think we fall into that trap of saying, yes, we're right, you're wrong. And then we forget the compassion and mercy bit of forgiving and allowing people to continue. We're very quick to judge. We're very quick to reflect on things that are happening in people's lives, in other people's lives. And this passage, this is from the Old Testament, so it shows that actually God's heart has been all the way through, old and new. Next, please. Mercy, be kind and compassionate. So how do we show compassion? How do we show mercy? First of all, being compassionate and kind to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God just as in Christ, God forgave you. Now, when you stop for a moment, and it's okay, you're all very friendly with one another and smiling. I've seen one or two talking to one another out there. That's good. That's really good. But just stop and think of the least person you like in this fellowship. Don't tell me. Don't shout it out. Okay, for goodness sake, we'll have a riot. They won't ask me again. The least person you... Now, be real, because I know there are people in my church I like. You know, there's a hierarchy. I love them all equally. I have to say that. But, you know, when somebody walks in and they walk into you, think, not him or her again. Don't you? Come on. Let's be real. Yeah? So think of that person. Okay? Think of the person who's hurt you. Who said a word that perhaps has upset you a little bit? Or who's been very strong in their opinion and you don't agree with it? Those people who perhaps you feel negative towards. See, they're the people that equally that we should be expressing love one another to. Including forgiving them. Including showing, be kind to them. It's easy to be kind to friends. That's easy. The test that you and I have is being kind to those who aren't friendly with us. Thank you. The next one. Right. So you've got the idea now, have you? The scriptures of one another, and they're a lot more, and they're a lot more challenging. You can see it started to make things well up in us a little bit. Haven't they? And just, again, put it back into the perspective. This is the thing that Jesus prayed for you and for I just before he died. And he said, God, Father God, I so much want these guys to come together in one. They might be different. They might do things differently. They might end up denominations. You know... So what? God's a God of creation, isn't he? Look around. We're all different. But how much I want them to love one another and treat one another as we three, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, do. So how do we do it? Well, just let me... In our church... I didn't think I had this, but I had it in the back of my Bible. Some time ago, I went through this, and I try and kind of think about it, preach about it, or put it through life groups, well, at least once a year, and certainly to people who come along. Because it's important. If Jesus is crying out just before his death, then it's important, isn't it? Who agrees that? It's important. So, what we've done is we've put together... what I call my covenant to you. And we've had a look at some of these scriptures, and I'm going to just go through what we've done. And what we're trying to do is encourage one another to agree to this, or at least to try and apply it in our lives, and at least start walking intentionally to obey what Jesus wants us to do. If we're not intentional about it, it won't happen. Or it will happen in such a short, a small way. So next slide, please. Okay. Another scripture. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to one another. Do you realise that? You might not like that person who you thought about a few minutes, but do you realise in Christ that you belong to one another? Jesus said he's going to come back. There are many mansions in his home when we go there, eternally. What if you're living next door? He's in the next flat, the person you're thinking about. Now, there's a challenge, isn't it? So if that's the case, why don't we have a commitment, if you like, that says, I belong to you and you belong to me, that all of us might bear fruit to God. As members of the same body, we belong to all the others. Why don't we make that a commitment? You know, I'm responsible, I belong to you. You know, I might be from the vineyard. You might never have seen me before. But we're part of the body of Christ. You know, so I'm happy for Stephen to say, shut up now. I've heard enough. It's too much. I'm happy for people to speak into my life who are committed to Christ Jesus and are speaking the wisdom of God. Okay, the next one, please. Greater love has no one than this. Okay? Oh, no, sorry, this is part of the first one. I recognise that the Lord has placed in us a covenant relationship, and I intend to fulfil my responsibilities to you as my covenant brothers and sisters. So he's saying, not only do we belong to me, but I recognise that, and it's my intentional desire to do what I can to work together. Okay? Next one. Let's just read a scripture. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Serve one another in love. Now we've heard that one, haven't we? And to all intents and purposes, that's what we do. So why don't we put that as a commitment? I will love you by laying down my life for you. Now, we're not likely to kind of give up a life in Blackburn in 2017, are we? But there is something about saying, I am going to be committed to you enough to be able to be sacrificial. Because who knows, when Jesus says, love one another, he's not talking about a sexual love, because the Greeks have a different word for that, eros. That's where we get erotic and things. He's not talking about just a tentative relationship love, which we would say is philio in the Greek. But he uses a word called agape, which means it's a selfless, sacrificial love. Okay? So when Jesus is calling us to love one another, he's saying, I want you to do it selflessly. So don't moan and groan when somebody rings you up and says, looks after your children at 9:30. I hope she doesn't listen to this. Are you recording it? Oh, okay. Don't give it out without my permission. No, she'll be fine. But selflessly and sacrificially. So, serving you in whatever ways and preferring you above myself. Now think of the person who you dislike the most. And are you happy to serve them? Are you happy to give them the preference over your life and what you want? Next one, please. I will love not only with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. And I will also allow you to love and serve me. Let's be intentional. Let's say, yes, I'm going to commit myself to do that. But actually, let's also be the recipients of that. Let's say, yes, I allow you to come and show your love to me. You know, we're generally good at giving, aren't we? But we're not very good at receiving from people. And I've had to get used to that. I've been terrible. I used to be a very insular Christian, you know, and I would give out, but I don't like taking much in. But God's been teaching me over the years, actually, to receive and receive. I mean, it was great for these guys to come and pray with me at the beginning and Stephen to pray with me. And I'd love it because I'm receiving. And not only am I receiving and therefore it's receiving something from God of his blessing and his touch upon my life, but I'm actually releasing and allowing you to be released in something that God wants you to do. So if I don't receive from you, I'm actually maybe stopping you from fulfilling something that God wants you to do. Can you get that? Okay, next one, please. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? How can we walk past somebody and not have a heart? No, I'm not going to tell you one because it's... I will tell you. Years ago, my heart was so hard. I used to be in, who knows, personnel management, human resources, as they call it now today. And you needed a hard eye. It used to look after the welfare of people, but you also got involved in dismissals and all sorts of things. So you needed to have a hard eye. And my heart was so hard that I remember one day I was running, you know, I was a bit late for work. I was running from the car park to the thing. It's a bad day. It was raining. Somebody was just in front of me, a young lady, and she slipped and fell. Do you know what I did? I ran past her because I didn't want to be late. I did. I wasn't a pastor there. I was in real work then days. Yeah? I will provide for you in whatever ways are necessary and proper. I will not withhold from you when it is in my power to bless you. Neither will I allow pride or lateness of work or whatever the case may be to prevent me from receiving from you. Let's be intentional about these things, that we will do things, we will go out of a way to help one another, even if I don't like you, because that helps us get to like you a little bit, doesn't it? Next one, please. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way, Romans. So why don't we put that scripture into place in our relationships and say, I will defend you if others offend or speak ill of you. Now let's stop right there, because we're now entering the realm of gossip. And we know gossip isn't right, but we know we get involved in it. Come on, be real. Even if we're listening to it. And it's very hard not to say, well, what happened next? Are they okay? And to try and almost get involved and listen and increase it. But actually, this is saying, just take care. Because the person that you're gossiping or somebody's gossiping about, you know, if we know them, we should be in that place and say, hang on a minute. I know Philippa. And I know what you say about her. Might be okay. Well, I wouldn't even say that. But actually, she's a blessing. You know, she's a lady of God. She's dada. And we got to build up and defend one another. As if we start to do that, then we'll start to see gossip come to an end, particularly in the church. And don't tell me gossip isn't rampant in the church. Yeah? So if we learn an intentional to defend one another instead of accusing others, maybe, then we start to see how Jesus, Father God, and the Holy Spirit come together. We never see any detrimental word between them. Ever, do we? I shall refuse to listen to gossip and negative criticism. Neither will I speak negatively of you, because you are my covenant brothers and sisters. I'll not go back to my great set of people and say, oh, what a lot that lot. They sat there, they weren't smiling. You know, every time I mentioned a point, they'd look down. I'm not going to go there again. I said, what a wonderful group they are. The music was wonderful. You can see God moving through the testimony that they're given, the prayers that are given. You know, this is a fellowship that loves one another. Encourage one another, because we're part of the same team, one body. Next one, please. We're getting to an end. Who's being challenged, just incidentally? Is one or two being challenged? Yeah, I know. I am as I speak. I will seek to honour you, and I will obey those who are over me in the Lord, giving them double honour. Now, I'm in another church here, so I can be a bit stronger in this. If I kind of back off this one when I'm speaking in our own church, because it's important that we honour those who are leading. We honour them by supporting them. We honour them by praying for them. We honour them by encouraging them. Whether they're leading worship, whether they're leading the church, whether they're leading the children's group, whether they're leading the catering, whether they're leading the cleaning. There's people that God puts in place a leadership structure. And we need to acknowledge that and honour those people and encourage them and enable them to do the work that God calls them to do. And I will, and you do that by accepting. We don't necessarily mean we agree with them. You know, I always say to the people in my church, that look, you know, I will try and do and say things, but if you disagree, shout out. We might not agree. You know, I have this phrase that we agree to disagree, don't I? Kat says, yeah, all the time. No. But it helps because it does two things. One, it actually brings us under authority, which is important. But also, if the leader is right with God, it should help them just to step back a bit and think and pray, am I right in this, Lord? If I'm not, will you please show me so I can change my understanding or change my action or whatever it may be. So as leaders, then we also need to know that those who are praying for us also can challenge us. Because we're not always right. Don't quote that when I go back. Seriously, we're not always right. And I love people giving information. We might always agree or disagree. It doesn't matter. So, I will obey those who are over me. Okay, so leader decides, say, this is what we're doing. You disagree. You then talk to them and you find out that as a consequence of that discussion, that nothing's going to change, that it's going to be the same. What do you do next? You don't huff and puff and blow. You don't go gossiping to everybody else. You don't go complaining and whinging because we've already committed ourselves not to do that, haven't we? So what do? We accept and come under the authority of that leader. That is godly. We come under the authority of the country's leadership. God doesn't necessarily like all that goes on in government, but we need to pray for them and come under authority. But what we do then is if we still really feel strongly that that is not of God that they're doing, then pray for them. I've seen it happen where I prayed and prayed and prayed that God will change the person's mind if it's God's will. And it happens. And if it doesn't happen, then that's two things. Why it's not God's will, or that person's not listening to God, and that's their responsibility anyway. And you fulfilled your responsibility under God by coming under the leadership and the authority of that leader. Yeah? That helpful? Good. Okay, I will use opportunities to encourage you and show you that I esteem you highly in the Lord. Let's encourage our leaders. I'm not just talking in the church, but everywhere. You know, let's encourage them. Let's be praying for Kay to learn. You know, be praying for Muhammad Khan, you know, and you know, the leaders of the council. Okay, next one, please. I will seek to be faithful to you, fulfilling my covenant responsibilities to you willingly and joyfully. Isn't that nice? It sounds so good. Come on. You know, what we're saying is, I'm going to commit that. You know, I might not do it all the time. I might struggle because we're all human. We all have weak moments, don't we? But, you know, in the main, let us be intentional and say, yeah, I want to be faithful to you guys. I want to be faithful to the churches in this town. I want to be faithful to God's body. And so I'll do so willingly and with joy in my heart. Because I know that's what Christ asked just before he died. So it must be important. So I need to put some mechanism in my life and in the life of the church. You know, if you're looking at it corporately, you know, the life of the national church, to do something about it and be faithful in it. Next, please. I will not treat our relationships superficially, neither will I betray your trust. I will pray for you and stand with you in faith for every need to be met. So get alongside people. Pray. You know, you need to be a congregation that's praying for yourself to God, but also praying for one another. Because that's how we help one another. When we're praying for one another, we're inviting God to come into their lives and work things out. Next one, please. If you grieve me or fail me in any way, I shall be quick to forgive you. Ho, 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 ho. Now there's a challenge for you. This is where it gets very quiet. And everybody starts looking at the feet. Is he talking to me? Oh, he is. We need to forgive people. If we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. That's what it says. Not mine. Sorry, you read what Jesus says. If you grieve me or fail me in any way, I shall be quick to forgive you. Should I fail in my love for you and covenant responsibilities, I will readily seek your forgiveness. Just as going home and saying, Kath, I'm sorry I fell out and said all those words to you. I really didn't mean them. Forgive me. We need to be people who ask for forgiveness to say sorry. Say sorry. Next, please. And will not allow the enemy in any way to hinder the unity God wants in our relationships. Can I just say, there's a kind of a teaching in every one of these. It's a great series to have. And we know that there is an enemy that tries to destroy the work of God. The first thing he will go at is to try and destroy relationships in God's people. And he uses us all. Because of our weakness and our humanity, we get up the wrong side of the bed sometime, whatever it may be, he will use us. But if we're intentional and thoughtful about it, then there is less likely chance of him using. Okay, next one, please. Oh, that's the end. Wow, thank goodness, and Stephen didn't interrupt me once. Just pulling it together. You were talking about revival. We're talking about, we've been singing about, speaking of what God wants and getting out into the neighbourhood and things like that. Do you know, if I haven't put it up there, but if you read John 17, that priestly prayer, what it says is that Jesus says, I want them to be one, just like we're one, in order that other people will know and get to know them. So there is something intrinsic, and again, I don't want to go into this, but there is something intrinsic about the unity of the church being important to people coming to know Christ. There is a link there. There is a spiritual link there. And so it's not just about loving one another, but it's also about connected to people out there. And you can have a look at that in another day. So the challenge for us is, are we going to be intentional about our relationships with one another? You together as a group of people in the Community Church Blackburn? Individually, corporately? And again, with us as different churches. And are we going to be intentional in saying, yes, we want to do this. We want to do this. And when we fall out with someone, get the scriptures out. And remind ourselves that this is the way we should be responding. This is God's way. This is what Christ died for in many ways. And in doing so, we know that that is going to be reflected some way in the world. People will see not Christians that are, I can never remember the word, that are dishonest in a way in what they say and think. They say one thing and do another. What's the word? What did I say? Critical? Inconsistent. All those things. But they will see a loving, connected group of people that they want to be part of. I want to be part of it, don't you? Be great. Be wonderful. The challenge is, can we do it? Father, you're amazing. Stephen's been saying that all along through the service, how good you are. And we want to thank you that your love for us includes all of those things. That we can sum it up in saying that you're faithful to us, despite who we are and what we've done. And we want to thank you. But Lord, I just... I just ask you'll help us, really. Take some of those words that are in your word of one another and help us apply them into our lives. Show us our weaknesses. Show us the areas that we need to start with. We can't do it all in one go. But help us. Help us, Lord, to apply these things in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things we're finishing now, it's kind of 12:10. But one of the things that I think is so important is to give us an opportunity to for us to respond to what God says. And, you know, that is by allowing someone to pray with us. Okay? So, you know, I don't know how you do these things, but what we like to do is just say, look, if there is something on your heart, something that you're struggling with, something that you think you need help with, or somebody to pray with, then come out. You know, ask someone or ask someone for prayer. If you're struggling with some of the items and you don't necessarily agree, come out. Speak it out. Don't let it fester. You know, some of those things that said, if we do this, then this will happen. You know, it talked about healing. I believe, just as you believe, that God can heal. If there's someone here today who wants to come before God and say, look, I'm struggling with a headache or a back pain or things like that, come out. And seek God and let God touch you in your life. And an interesting thing, God can speak to us in different ways, can't he? You know, just through his word primarily, but he gives us pictures. He, you know, he goes with this kind of prophetic word. This morning at breakfast, we got up. We were in the kitchen, Kath and I. And I have cereal. And Kath, during wintertime, has a kind of porridge. But we have this that you can tear the packet off and you pour water in. Have you seen them? It's kind of an instant thing. So you put your porridge in the bowl and you use the pack to put, not water, milk in. You know, so the measurement's perfect and you tip it in there. Okay. So this morning it was having that and she put the porridge in the bowl, went over to the waste bin, screwed the packet up and put it in. Then went back and said, "Oh." In words like that. I've thrown the packet away. So it went over to the bin and picked it up and it all scrumpled. And we had this debate as whether we should use it again, you see. And I said, well, why not? Actually, the bin wasn't that bad, but you scrumpled it up. It was all mangled together. But what you're doing is you're pouring milk on the inside and the inside is clean. So do it. I'll not tell you what happened, but because that doesn't matter. But at that moment, God spoke to me. And I believe that's a word for us today. And he's saying some of us, our lives are like that. They're all messed up. They're all scrumpled up. Yeah? There's difficulties in our lives. There's creases that we can't seem to get out of. But what God is interested in is the inside. He can deal with all the rest. What he wants to start with is the inside. He wants it to be clean. He wants it so that the milk can be put in and you can have your porridge and you can be fed. You know, if there's something this morning in somebody's life that you feel crumpled, you feel things aren't happening, you know, there's life sucks, all those things that you can say, then God has a word for you too. He's already said earlier that he'll never leave us, never gives up on us. But now he says, I want to clean the inside. I want you to come. So if that's you, and if you want prayer for that, again, just come forward. I don't know how you want to do this, Stephen. Just allow people to come or...